Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
We're talking football. It's what's happening right now in a big way. Maybe not so much in Seattle yet, but big news happening out there. Who better to speak with than the professor, John Clayton? Hello, John.
Hello. How are you doing?
We're doing good. You've got us in three separate locations, so we're piecing this thing together and just showing what professionals we are, John.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, it was kind of funny because I know that I did a 2 o'clock segment, and it was supposed to be on the app, and then they were able to get the ISDN line, but now it's all blocked off, and so we tried to get the app, and that didn't work, but we are on the phone right now.
Yeah, we're going old school. You're with us on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline, so we appreciate it as always. Let's talk about, it's the biggest news of the day, John, but maybe the least surprising, and that is the Rams letting go of Todd Gurley. It seemed like everybody expected this would happen. I read that they were trying to trade him, couldn't find a trade partner, so he's out. What do you think the market is for him now?
It's not good because there's not many teams looking for running backs. Go ask Melvin Gordon about that. You know, go ask some of the other running backs looking for jobs because, you know, literally there's only going to be 4 or 5 teams at the moment, believe it or not, that looks for running backs. Now, Atlanta could be a candidate, you know, but they don't have much cap room, so that may not work. Then you can see that, maybe Detroit, but does he really want to go to Detroit? As many people that are unhappy there. So you throw all that together, it's not a good market to be released, and that's why you can see he's got to be upset. You know, he's got, he was making $14.5 million, and obviously that wasn't going to continue. And, of course, they needed to make the decision by tomorrow because, you know, what happens tomorrow is that he has a big guarantee that was going to go into his contract. So now he's out looking for a job.
Boy, things just went south for the Rams. I mean, and for a guy like Todd Gurley, he signs that big deal. And I thought, you know, John, that was going to be at that time a couple years ago like a precedent for running backs finally getting paid. And then, you know, he gets the arthritic knee and, you know, next thing, you know, how much do you think he can expect to make this next season on the free agent market?
I don't think a lot because, see, here's the problem he faces, Jadeveon Clowney faces, Cam Newton faces, and other players that are coming off injuries or are playing through injuries, is that you can't have the ability to give him an examination. I mean, you can't have him fly in, see your team doctor. You can make an arrangement with the other, wherever he's at in the city that he's at, to maybe try to do something, but that's the problem. And so if you're trying to make a trade, you know, it's going to be difficult. And if you're going to be finding out a job, you're going to be very cautious because the offers are going to be low. I mean, everybody knows he has an athletic arthritic knee, and you know, I want to see how bad it is because, again, a lot of teams before he was drafted, you know, had him actually off the board because of his knee problems. So I think he's going to I mean, he'll get a job. But the question is how much, and I think what he's going to unfortunately have to do is be satisfied with the guaranteed money that he's currently getting from the Rams and then be satisfied with that, and I'm sure he's not.
Could you make a case, though, Professor, of him being a heck of a backup to Chris Carson while Rashad Penny is recovering?
I mean, if indeed he can handle the idea of being a backup, I guess he was, I'm sure he was steaming last year, but, you know, he was a backup going down the stretch toward the Super Bowl because C.J. Anderson was getting more carries than him. And really, you can see that the carries didn't go to him until late. But, the thought would be, okay, at what price? Now, you can say, is he willing to come in knowing, as I think he's got about $7 million in current guarantees, that can he be satisfied making like a one-year deal, prove it at $3 million? And I think you can make a case for that to happen. I mean, you know, here's the Seahawks, and you got Russell Wilson. And again, Russell being professional about it because he wants to win. He says, get me stars. Let's get this team with stars. All right, so they signed 3 offensive linemen. Clearly, none of those guys are stars, but you know, a star they got in Greg Olsen, satisfying there. And maybe if they can get Gurley at the right price, then maybe that could be a star to add, even though his star is coming down.
Hey, John, what's the market going to be for Clay Matthews? I know he's, you know, he's been in the league since 2009. He's not a young guy anymore, but he came off a year where he had 8 sacks And he did that in 13 games. And we just talked about, you know, the productivity of Bruce Irvin, you know, very similar, 8.5 sacks in 13 games. So you got guys, despite age, who are producing. I would imagine there'd be a fair amount of interest in him, no?
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, I think, you know, what it comes down to is that, you know, a team, a winning type of team that's a 3-4 team could look at him. Now the question is going to be, you know, who hasn't made a move as a 3-4 team? You know, this may sound crazy, but I could see a team like the Baltimore Ravens looking at him because he does give them pass rush, and they need pass rush, and they very well might have to do a tag and trade on Matthew Judon. And remember, they lost two pass rushers last year, so I can see that team being a fit. But I think when you start to go through, because you know, half the league is 3-4, and this may sound crazy, but I could honestly see him going to the Dallas Cowboys. Now, the reason I say that is when I was calling around yesterday, you know, the Cowboys aren't sure if they're going to stay in a 4-3 defense. They might have to switch into a 3-4 with the losses that they've had on the defensive line and some of the issues that they have at linebacker. And so, he could be an edge rusher for them as that. So I think, 3-4 teams can look at him, but it has to be a team with a winning record because, a team with a losing record or a young team, they're not going to bring in a linebacker that old.
Hey, John, we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but, just the timing of, like for Jaron Reed, if he'd had 10.5 sacks last year as opposed to two, and then same thing with Clowney. Let's say that he was coming off the 17-18 season, 9.5, 9 sacks. Is that the main reason for him? Are there other things? Are there health concerns? Why do you think – does it have to do with that as far as him not getting the top tier crazy
money?
If Jaron
Reed would have had back-to-back if he would have 20 sacks in 2 years or 19 sacks in 2 years, then he's probably talking about a $15-plus million contract, if not more. But unfortunately for him, he missed the 6 games. He didn't get the sacks last year, and he still came out well because, remember, this is a good group of defensive tackles, and they're all reasonably young, and so it's going to be a competitive, but all their range of value came between $10 million and $13 million a year. But if he would have been able to jump that number and have a big sack year, now you're talking 15, if not more, and he would have been able to dominate the market. If Devin and Clowney would have had one or two double-digit sack seasons, then he would be able to top the $20 to $21 million mark, but he didn't. But then the two other things that are working against him, one is that he's got the problems with a history of injuries, being injured most of last year, and then, of course, missing 20 games over his first 6 years. That works against him. And then the other thing that works against him is the coronavirus. Because of the coronavirus, any player coming off a surgery that's had an injury question mark is going to be one. The team was going to want to have him come in for a visit and check out his physical ability and see where that is. Unfortunately, that can't happen right now. I mean, he's coming off core surgery, so he's not going to be able to do too much right now, and not that they're asking him to work out. They just have to check where he is medically, and so I think that puts him in another disadvantage. That's why I think his value, unfortunately, because again, where I say it's unfortunate, I still keep saying he's one of the 6 or 7 best edge rushers in the game. He doesn't get the sacks, so that goes against him. But the thing is that this is a guy that, and again, and maybe you can say, here's the sacrifice that he made that cost him money. He kept playing since November with a core surgery that was coming, and he knew it, and he fought through that and did it for the team. And so that's why you would hope, because he's still in play for Seattle, that they'd find a way to satisfy him with some kind of a contract. But unfortunately, right now, the numbers aren't there for him.
John, do you think it's worth parting with the number 27 pick overall for Yannick Ngakoue?
As a number one, yeah. As a straight trade, absolutely, it would be too much. I think the idea that was brought out more than a week ago is that if you trade down and give a second-round pick, and so you get Jacksonville's second-round pick, now you're talking because you give up 14 spots. And again, John Snyder would trade down anyways. That's what one of the things in his strength and being able to do. But a flat number one pick, no, you can't do that. And again, nobody at this stage, there's nobody that's going to do that. And you've seen the way the trades have gone, where you think you can get. Now, again, Stephon Diggs, he was able to get a 1 plus 3 other draft choices for the Minnesota Vikings going to Buffalo. I mean, here's DeAndre Hopkins, who's better, but he couldn't net a number two. And so far, it's very difficult. Now, Frank Clark, was able to net a number one and a number two for Seattle, but you notice Dee Ford wasn't able to do it, and others aren't able to do it. So, no, I think the value, I mean, if you put together some kind of a value, I mean, you can get the idea that you can get something. Now, the thing with Seattle, where, you know, with your second-round pick being so low, you have to come up with something. So I'd say the trade-down could work, but right now Jacksonville doesn't seem to be interested in making a trade.
So they're just going to hang on to a disgruntled player, or are they just going to hold out until people get desperate and really want to up the ante?
Well, I think at some point, because, again, it depends on who they keep signing, because I think they've ended up signing, you know, three guys on defense to come in, but they still have cap issues. And so because of that, at some point, you know, they still might have to do it, but right now they're not at the point. I mean, you know, that's why when the Calais Campbell trade was made, you know, that gave them the ability to try to wait things out. But the problem that they face, waiting it out is not going to change the equation. You know, most of the people have made their moves on high-end pass rushers, and so who are you going to be able to, you know, go? Because, I mean, you know, maybe you're not going to get a number one from Washington because the number one's too high. You're not going to get a number one from Carolina because they're a 4-3 defense. It's, you know, right now in the rebuilding process. So, you know, they can try to wait, but right now their wait may be tougher than Jadeveon Clowney, you know, getting the money he's looking for.
Hey, John, I see Tom Brady is going to be able to get a physical taken in New York. Is he the only one? Because you mentioned nobody getting physicals done, and apparently, I don't know if he's going to go there in his private jet or what, but that he's going to be taking a physical.
Oh, he's living in New York
Thursday.
Right now, so that he can do. You. But no, that's the way it goes. Like, for example, you notice that the Seahawks announced the signing of Jaron Reed. Well, Jaron Reed was in town, and so he was able to go visit a doctor, get and pass the physical. So wherever you are, and you don't have to travel, I mean, you can get something done. That's why some of these deals are starting to be announced and some of the contracts are coming through because some of the guys have passed the physical. It's just where you are, and if you can get the team to make an arrangement to go ahead and you know, get that physical pass, then it's going to work.
Hey, John, what about Clay Matthews? He was also released by the Rams today. You think he has much left in the tank?
I think he does, yeah, because, I mean, look at the season that he had. It was just a matter that he just has to find that right 3-4 team that has a winning record that can go for him. And so, unfortunately, a lot of the teams right now that are good have pretty well filled up their roster, and he doesn't want to go to a bad team. That's why I think Baltimore would be a good location for him because, you know, they were trying to get Terrell Suggs back after letting him go last year after he was cut by Arizona. And so I think Clay going to Baltimore could be a really good fit.
I guess Jim didn't like the answer you gave me to that question.
By the way, Jim, what do you think of the Drew Brees contract?
John, you know, I just texted Jim that. I said, ask him about the Drew Brees contract as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I blew it.
But did I answer it consistently each time?
Yeah, you did a good job.
See, you know what I like to think?
Hey, Bob, you want to ask me about Clay Matthews?
No, John, you know what I like to think? I'm going to try and defend myself in probably the worst possible way, but what the hell, I'll give it a go. I like to think that I'm like Chris Carson, that every once in a while I fumble the ball, but I'm such a force with my violent speaking style that it's worth it when I fumble every once in a while.
There you go. I can't argue.
Yeah, that's a way of looking at it. Text in questions, by the way, to 710-710 for the professor. If you've got questions, we'll try to get to some of those. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, and then have you been asked about Jared Goff yet, John?
No, I have not.
Okay. Well, today was also, he's guaranteed a $21 million roster bonus for this year, and it also guaranteed another $43 million in the future. So this has to be a dark day for Rams fans, I would think.
It depends on if you like Goff or not. Maybe more Ram fans don't like him because he lost the Super Bowl and had a horrible game in the Super Bowl, and he's certainly not at this stage any kind of an elite quarterback. So I guess if that's the case, but, you know, hey, it's a quarterback-driven league, and it's a quarterback-driven league in an NFC that is loaded with quarterbacks. I mean, what I counted up now with the Brady deal, that you got about 14 quarterbacks, you know, making $20-plus million, where you look over in the AFC, and you have, you know, all but a handful of the quarterbacks all in their rookie contracts. And so it makes it tough. But then what's your alternative? you know, it's like, can you find another quarterback? I mean, are you going to, you know, let Jared Goff go and take the cap hit and sign Jameis Winston? You know, are you going to try to trade for Andy Dalton? And so at this stage, I mean, hey, you went to a Super Bowl with Jared Goff. It's just like Jimmy Garoppolo helping the 49ers go to the Super Bowl. That you lost in the Super Bowl is sad, but again, it got him there. You got quarterbacks like Matthew Stafford, as good as he is. You know, he hasn't won a playoff game. Kirk Cousins, as good as he is, he hasn't won a playoff game. And Dak Prescott, as good as he is, he's only won one playoff game. In the case of Goff, he's won two. In the case of Garoppolo, he's won two playoff games. So that's more than some of the guys in the conference he's facing.
John, we got a text from the 509 and says, why have we not seen the Hawks move Ed Dixon yet?
No reason to. They don't have cap problems right now. You know, the one thing that also happens is that until the guy passes the physical, he doesn't go into the cap. So, you know, they signed four guys yesterday, and the cap, now again, I'll have it in my database what's going to change, but it's not going to change as far as the true cap number. There's no reason to do it now.
All right, this is Bob's thing that he really wants to happen. The new backup quarterback for the Seahawks, Jameis Winston.
No, I'm kidding.
Bob doesn't like Jameis Winston. Do we have any clearer idea on where you think he'll end up?
No idea. Absolutely none. I mean, going into free agency and into the offseason, you didn't have an idea where he could go, and right now you don't have an idea where he can go. I think he's certainly a candidate to maybe be considered by the Los Angeles Chargers, but I think in the end they'll say no. Would Bill Belichick want a quarterback that threw 30 interceptions, has had more turnovers than anybody in the league since coming in? I question that. He'll land someplace, but right now I can't tell you where he is going to land.
John, what do you think about a backup plan if you don't get Clowney or Ngakoue of Everson Griffin?
I think it's a good option. I really do. Now, again, the only concern I have is that when you start to bring in too many players in their 30s, you have what happened to the Rams this year, is that you don't have long durability. And so it's a good type of short-term thing, because now what you're looking at, you know, they get Greg Olsen, who's, what, 34, 35. I mean, you've now got Bruce Irvin, who's 32. You get Griffin, who's number 33. But I'd have to think, when you're talking about the three main options that are left before you start working on the franchise and tags, I mean, he would be number three, because number one would be getting Clowney back. Number two would be Unique Ndakwe and making some kind of a trade for him. And then number three, you know, that would be Everson Griffin. So I think it's one that you really got to consider. And I think it's one that if you're Seattle, you got to check and see what he wants. And if the numbers are right, make the move now.
Hey, John, I heard on one of these shows on NFL Network earlier today when they were speculating about the New England Patriots and what do they do, no Tom Brady, and should they go after Dalton, should they go after Newton, just throwing out those possibilities. And the guy that, and I can't remember who it was, but saying, no, you know, they actually really like Stidham. They've got Cody Kessler on the roster as well, but that they really like Stidham, almost making the play that they're happy with that guy and they want to develop him. Do you buy that? Because I haven't really heard that before today.
You know, I mean, it's starting to become a growing possibility because, you know, start to look what's going on with the Patriots. All right, so they signed Bo Allen, you know, a defensive tackle from Tampa Bay for 2 years, $8 million. But look at the six or seven players they've let go in free agency. You know, they traded Duran Harmon, you know, a backup safety who was, you know, got a lot of playing time last year. They let Jamie Collins. They let Kyle Van Noy. You know, they let, their second best special teams player, Nate Ebner, go. And, you know, Ted Karras, who actually started a lot of games at center, they let him go for $4 million. I mean, you're almost getting the feeling that, and again, you see this, and it's not a bad thing to do. New England finished the season as the oldest team in the league at 27.3 years of age. And that's almost a year older than the average. And once you get to that stage, so Atlanta's experienced it. I know that other teams have. That you almost have to say it's maybe time to do a little bit of, rebuild. Philadelphia's in that same boat, and so you want to try to get a little bit younger. But now, to do that, I mean, now you're almost giving the division to the Buffalo Bills.
John, seems like they always, the Seahawks, sign a big interior defensive tackle. and sometimes late in the free agency period or just before camp. You think Al Woods is going to be that guy, or is he going to go work on his farm and be done?
No, I mean, with Al, you have to, he can't play 16 games because, remember, he's only served two of his four-game suspension for PEDs, and so, you're going to have him and maybe in week three. Would he be good to consider signing? Absolutely, because a very good run stopper, but also you realize, for the first two games of the season, you're not going to have him.
I thought Andy Dalton took care of that, actually.
What's that?
The four games. I thought that the two playoff games.
If you go back and look, I mean, he got it in the 15th week, and so he missed week 16 and week 17. So he has two more games to serve. Same thing, presumably. And I say that presumably because we don't know the exact number of games for the PED suspension of Josh Gordon. But you would figure if it's the normal four, then he has two more games to serve. So they both kind of went out the same week.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that the playoff games counted.
No. Regular season games. Maybe you're right. Now, that one's a good one because maybe I need to double check that. The reason I still say it probably doesn't apply is because at the end of the year on the waiver wire, they put the guys whose suspensions have gone. And so Woods' name, Gordon's name. Now, of course, Gordon's different because he's on an indefinite suspension. But Woods' name was not on there. So he's not been cleared yet.
Professor, if Andy Dalton is the starting quarterback for the Patriots next year, what do you think their record will be?
I'd say 9-7, if that. Again, I have to see how they rebuild the roster because, I mean, again, all the guys that they lost, including Danny Shelton, to go with that. Right now they're not as good on defense. They're weaker on the offensive line. They still haven't done anything of note other than Demarius Byrd at wide receiver. And so, they still have some cap issues. So, yeah, you still kind of wonder. It's like, okay, when are you going to start picking this up and doing some things? But, boy, I tell you what, for 2021, they are absolutely loaded for compensatory picks.
John, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go. There's the Professor John Clayton. If you missed any of today's Cold Hard Facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, just download the podcast at 710sports.com. All right, coming up, ESPN.com's Brady Henderson will join us next. We'll talk about the latest in Seahawks free agency and what he expects to happen. That's all coming your way next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle. A reminder, you can listen to our show via the 710 Sports app. It's powered by Dubin Law Group, and it's free and very handy right now. Hey, joining us now on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline, our buddy from ESPN.com, who does a great job covering the Seahawks, Brady Henderson is here. Brady, how are you, man?
You know, Bob, I was thinking about you earlier, just knowing how much of a germaphobe you are, and I was wondering, Are you crippled with fear, or are you already on such high alert as it is that this is just business as usual for Bob Stelton?
It's another day in the life, Brady. People are just now learning what it is to be me and going through that whole, just the mechanics of every day, washing your hands and being aware of what you touch and all of that. Yeah, so everybody's just kind of getting a dose of my life.
That's good. None of this would have happened if we all lived our life like you, Bob.
That's exactly right. Hey, let's talk about this Seahawks team and what they've done and what they haven't done to this point. They haven't, I know they were playing a clip of Russell Wilson earlier in the day saying, hey, we need to bring in some big-time stars here and, some big names and how literally you want to take that, we'll see. But to this point, they haven't done it. They re-signed Jaron Reed. They bring in a few offensive linemen, none of which I've heard of. What do you think of what they've done, and is there any concern as to what they haven't done at this point?
Yeah, I thought that they could come out of the gates this year with a big acquisition, and I know that has not been their MO. In fact, before the negotiating window opened up, I looked back at all the free agent deals they've done in terms of guys that they've added, free agents that they've added from the outside, and the biggest deal in terms of annual average was actually the Ziggy Ansah deal from last year, if you can believe that or not, at $9 million. So they had not paid an outside free agent more than the $9 million on average that they paid him last year. I thought that could change this year just because the state of the pass rush being what it is and needing pass rushers as much as they do and also, you know, having a little bit of money to spend. So I thought that they could do that, but it's not, again, just with their history, it's not terribly surprising that they haven't made a big move yet. And what I would say, too, is, you know, there's still time. We sort of tend to think of this as, you know, kind of a short-term thing. Free agency goes on for a long time. There's different phases of it, and we've seen them be pretty active in that third phase of free agency, which is when they got Jadeveon Clowney last year. So I know people are probably panicking seeing all the other teams in the division, or at least the Cardinals, you know, get better and other teams making these big splash moves. But I would say, you know, there is still time, and there's still some pass rushers available.
Well, and Brady, would you say that possibly the fans and maybe us a little bit are panicking a little bit more about the pass rush than the Seahawks are? I mean, what you're sort of seeing and hearing from Schneider and Pete Carroll, I mean, do you think maybe they're thinking, hey, you know, just the way we played defense, there wasn't time to get to the quarterback? Have you sensed that same urgency from the team that you are from everybody else?
Yeah, that's a good point. And I would wonder if maybe they, you know, believe in some of their current pass rushers more than other people do. You know, so guys like Rasheem Green, who, you know, took a little bit of a step last season and actually led the team with 4 sacks, which I guess that says as much about their pass rush as a whole as it does about him as an individual. But Shaquem Griffin, LJ Collier, who they spent a first-round pick on. So, you know, they might feel better about their ability to get production from the guys that they currently have. But I would think that they still realize or they still consider that to be their biggest need. And, you know, I think another thing I would add, too, is, you know, I mentioned guys are still available. Guys are still becoming available. You saw Clay Matthews, you know, become available today. The Rams released him along with Todd Gurley. And so they're going to have a better feel for that landscape than we are in terms of, you know, who might become available in addition to the, you know, pass rushers that we've been talking about for the last month or so. And I think that's part of it, too.
Brady, let me give you a multiple-choice question. The first answer is Jadeveon Clowney returns to the Seahawks. Do you think that's a possibility? Ngakoue or Judon in a trade? Everson Griffin or none of the above?
Are you asking me which I think is the most likely?
Yes.
Yeah, I at this point, I would probably, gosh, I mean, Clowney, I will say this, Clowney, the reunion with Jadeveon Clowney looks a lot more likely to me than it did, you know, 3-4 days ago before the negotiating window started. And I was fairly consistent just since the end of the season in predictions that they asked us to make on ESPN.com. And I thought it was more likely that he signs elsewhere. But that was based on the belief that his market could, you know, get him a deal in that $20, $21 million, you know, Frank Clark range. Which, and I would remind people, one reason I felt that way is because the Seahawks didn't want to pay that to Frank Clark. And if his price tag got that high, I was just not inclined to believe that they would break the bank for him, for Clowney, after not doing that for Frank Clark. And at this point, just with the way that the market has gone, you have not seen a pass rusher really push that market all that high. Eric Armstead got $17 million. And when I say pass rushers, I mean edge rushers specifically. Eric Armstead got $17 million on an extension. I think the next closest, you know, unrestricted free agent was Dante Fowler at $16 million. So you have not seen anybody push that market to, or anybody get a deal, you know, approaching $20 million. And so I think the Seahawks, you know, maybe if Clowney's market is well below $20 million, that becomes a lot more palatable to the Seahawks. And I could see that happening. So that seems a lot more likely to me than it did 4 days ago.
Brady, how likely or unlikely would it be that they could do Clowney and one of these other guys that Jim brought up there? And I know salary cap-wise they're in a position where it doesn't look feasible, but we also know every team's just got this magic ability to create space and move things around, restructure contracts. We've also heard about the potential of cutting Justin Britt, saving $8.5 million, maybe restructuring KJ. Do you think there's a scenario in which they sign Clowney and they can make a move on Yannick Ngakoue and make that work financially?
Boy, I mean, I guess you never say never just because of what happened last year with Clowney. They got him for, what, a third round, whatever it was. I can't remember if it was second or third round pick. And they ended up getting Houston to take on, I think, $7 million of his $8 million salary. So I don't think they can get as sweet of a deal for either Judon or Ngakoue, or at least I wouldn't anticipate that. But again, you never say never. If it's going to cost, say for Yannick Ngakoue, if the price is a first round pick and, you know, an $18-20 million contract on average, that becomes pretty hard for me to see doing that in addition to Clowney. Judon maybe a little bit more realistic, just because he is not as accomplished of a player as Ngakoue is, just with some of the sack numbers and just the production, it hasn't quite been there. So I don't think he would be as expensive. But I think if they get Clowney, it might have to be another one of those, you know, kind of middle tier guys, maybe something above Bruce Irvin, but maybe below somebody like Yannick Ngakoue or Matthew Judon.
Well, and Brady, speaking of Ngakoue, did you follow up on that picture, maybe go out to the airport and check the pattern of the carpeting or anything like that?
You know what? I will admit this. I tried to Google search for what the inside of the terminal at SeaTac Airport looks like, because I was trying to match up the carpets and the chairs, because the chairs did look familiar, I will say that. But after that, you know, I was sort of reminded of the memo that NFL teams sent out, basically banning players from going to visit teams for physicals and everything like that. So even if there was interest, I don't think he would really be able to be in Seattle. And again, that could have been any airport in America, as similar as the chairs might have looked. You know,
he's not a free agent.
If you wanted to convince me that was SeaTac, you would have had to play the audio of the that really annoying recording of the guy saying you cannot, you know, leave your car parked here, all that stuff. So that would have been the dead giveaway for SeaTac.
Hey, Brady, what's your read on Josh Gordon? It sure seems like from his tweets that he loves it here in the Northwest, but he's an unrestricted free agent. He's still technically suspended. How do you think this is going to end up?
You know, Jim, I get the sentiment that, you know, the Seahawks need a number three receiver, and he's a guy who had a little bit of success here, but I think we are so far away from being able to gauge that, just because, you know, we haven't gotten through free agency, let alone the draft, and we don't even know if and when he is going to be reinstated. So if there is still a need at receiver, you know, after the draft and after free agency, and if he does get reinstated, I think that could very much be in play. And remember, my understanding is no other team aside from the Seahawks put in a claim on him last year. And so I don't know if there would be. I know he's going to be an unrestricted free agent once he does become available, but coming off another suspension, I don't know how huge the market would be. So I could see that happening potentially, but there's just a lot to sort out between now and then.
He is Brady Henderson of ESPN.com, doing a great job covering the Seahawks. Brady, thanks so much, man. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, fellas. Take care.
There you go. Good stuff from Brady. Meanwhile, Tom Brady reportedly wants the Bucs to bring in Antonio Brown. We're going to hear more about that when we sweep the dial next with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore. Sweeping the dial. Streaming everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com.
Well, there definitely was some sense that Tom Brady would want to bring Antonio Brown with him. This from some of the other teams that were potentially in the mix here. It really wasn't a secret. Brady and AB have remained close. My understanding is this is not something that Bruce Arians is in favor of. He's had Antonio Brown before. He had him a couple years in Pittsburgh. It does not sound like it went well. This does not seem to be like the direction that the Bucs would be going.
Tom Brady must be out of his mind. I mean, I understand he's Tom Brady, and you feel like even at 43 years old, you've got a good chance to win with him. Having said that, there's no way on God's green earth I would let him dictate something like that, saying, hey, I'm coming, and I want Antonio to come with me. I'm glad Arians is not on board with that. That'd be a brutal move.
Yeah, I was going to say, does he hold that much sway, Tom Brady? I know you're Tom Brady and everything, but also, yeah, you've lost your mind. And, you know, you've already got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin down there, and they seem to be, you know, good enough teammates and everything. But, you know, those receivers, they're a volatile bunch. You know, that might affect them adversely. And, you know, why would you want that guy on your team unless he's gotten some help?
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Dave. I just don't understand Antonio Brown when you have the receiving core that the Buccaneers have. I mean, we saw that firsthand in Seattle. They took the Seahawks to overtime at CenturyLink Field, and no matter what you think about Jameis Winston, he definitely had some targets to throw to, and Tom Brady will too, so I don't think he can use that as an excuse this year, nor would I think that he'd want Antonio Brown to come down and join him there in Tampa Bay, but apparently he does.
Again, this is all new. This is all different. This is all something that every team is trying to figure out. And it's one of the reasons that it made it hard to start the new league year in free agency this week, because teams are wrestling with issues just like this. Now, again, a team could do that. We'll see how it works out. I want to see that actually happen, where a player tests positive, a team basically voids the contract or declines to pay the bonus money. I want to see it. I think teams are being smart and trying to protect themselves right now, but let's see how it's actually applied down the line.
This is a weird story. On the surface, I kind of went, well, yeah, that makes sense. You want to protect yourself as an organization, spending, you know, tens of millions of dollars on a player potentially. But at the same time, you know, as scary as this virus is, and as, you know, seriously as we're all taking it, the majority of the fatalities we've seen have been in older individuals with underlying health issues. You would assume even if one of these players tested positive, they're going to be okay. They're going to get through it. It seems to be the belief. So it seems a curious move on the part of the organizations.
Yeah, well, and then, you know, maybe it has to do with more with the guy who's given the physical, you know, might be an older person, who knows. But, yeah, and how often do we see, we saw Jeremy Lane fail a physical, right? And, you know, I failed a physical back in 1987. So, yeah, I doubt that you will see a lot of that, though. But, man, you certainly, you know, it's like getting a home inspection. You know, you don't want to pony up a bunch of money for something that might be broken. And, you know, but I just don't think you're going to see any of these deals reversed with a physical later on.
When they advise you to be quarantined for 14 days and isolated from nobody, can't even get a haircut from my barber, they want me to stay away from him, I'm looking like Tom Hanks off Castaway. She can't even go and get her hair done, so she gonna just cut them out herself. Little Whoopi Goldberg over here. The struggle is real in the James household right now. Boo, you good? You need some help?
LeBron James and his wife, apparently on video, she's cutting her braids off because nobody can go to a hair salon or a barber at this point. And yeah, I like that. Tom Hanks and Castaway. I'm guessing a lot of us may look that way by the time we're allowed to go back.
Jim? Hello?
Dave?
Is Jim playing with the dog again? What happened?
Dave? No, I think LeBron was just kind of being sarcastic a little bit. I mean, I think he's fine there, but yeah, he's got himself quarantined. He's following what he should be doing, and I think he was just kind of spoofing that hair thing. I don't think it's a huge issue for him, but yeah, we're all learning a new way of life here, especially with what's going on with the coronavirus. And I was I told you guys yesterday, I was up at Newcastle driving range yesterday, and you know, they're taking measures up there. They've got every other bay closed off, trying to keep people, you know, 6 feet away from each other. And so it's our new way of life, at least for the next few months, if not 6 months or longer.
One time in Denver, I actually had my wife cut my hair, and it did not turn out good. And so the first time I went to my guy down in Arizona, his name was Jack. At Dino's, it was actually called Dino's, the barbershop I went to. It had like the, you know, the blue and red pole rotating out. It was totally old school. They had like these old coffee tables in there. They would have Playboy magazines out because it was like a men's thing. It was really just like a total throwback place. And Jack starts cutting my hair and he's like, "Who in the hell cut your hair last time? This is a mess." So hopefully it doesn't come down to that.
Yeah, what are you going to do, Dave? Yours was starting to get long as it is.
Well, I have an in-law that cuts hair, and I might have to either have her come over here, or I'll go and visit her. Or I might just let it grow out, you know, just become a hippie.
We're going to come back, and Dave's going to be sporting a man bun.
No man bun.
Oh, I'd really like to see that.
Might be all three of us.
Dreads.
Yeah, it's gonna be an interesting time here. Hopefully they find something that can allow us to get into a barbershop or a salon or whatever, because yeah, it could get pretty ragged. But all right, there you go, a little sweeping the dial. Meanwhile, we were supposed to be talking opening day baseball with John Paul Morosi today. That's obviously not happening, but we still have plenty of things to discuss. He's going to join us next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.